You know, a lot of times people say, well, why do you have to have a prayer curriculum? Well, how many of you ever played games? How many of you realize there's rules for every game? And I know my dad used to teach this, and it is, there are rules when it comes to prayer. You don't use the same kind of prayer for everything. There's different ways to pray for different things. And then we want everybody to be on the same page. And so that's what it's all about. So I had some people ask the question, so I thought I'd answer it for you. Also, you know, a lot of times when you have something on a, like we have here, I don't know, two or three times already last year, and now we're starting this year, we're having a, try to have a little social activity on a Sunday evening. And somebody said, well, we're not disregarding church, but part of the unit, part of being together is fellowship. When we're in church, we're fellowshipping spiritually, but we're not fellowshipping in the natural. And remember, there is the natural and the supernatural. When you get both of them working together, you got something going on. And that's why we try to have, ever so often, if there's something, we can have a fellowship around. And I'll speak a short message at halftime. But, sometimes some people, you just need to explain a little bit to them sometimes. And so that's what it's all about. Actually, it's for, somebody says, well, I don't like football. Hey, that's fine. Just come on out and talk in fellowship with somebody. There is something about it when Christians get together in fellowships. There is something that takes place there. You know, how many understand what I'm trying to talk to you about? Good. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to remind you of some things that you probably already know. But I think it's good that you keep reminding people about things. And if you ever noticed in school, they remind you over and over again about the rules of English and about math and different things. And so Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 1:13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, our body, to stir you up by reminding you. And then Paul said it like this: for this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul was sharing with them who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. And, you know, and he said he is sending Timothy to these Corinthian believers to remind them about that. Of course, many of you have heard what I'm going to say many times from me, as well as a lot of you sitting here have sat under my dad's ministry. You heard him talk about it. But I am going to remind you of these truths again. There's one thing that you need to learn. No matter if you've heard something over and over again, if you'll listen, the Lord will give you something new. How many times in all the years do you think that I heard my dad preach a message on faith? Or prayer? Or what I'm going to talk about today, being in Christ? And you know, and I heard other people speak, but I always listen. I don't care if I've heard it before. I always listen, because if you listen, the Holy Spirit will give you something a little different. Come on now. You know, I was reading something the other day, and it really got home to me. It said there's a lot of people listening, but they're not hearing. You ever notice it, in the Word of God, it says, hearing, faith coming by hearing, not listening. Come on. And then, you know, over there in the gospel, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Huh? Did you know you can listen and not hear? Okay, let's go on. You know, what I see in today's world is a lot of people are walking beneath their rights and privileges in Christ. I've heard my dad say this many, many times. And they're living a defeated life. Some people just don't expect to have victory. Some people simply trying to live and manage their problems instead of believing God and having victory. God always has a victory plan. In fact, I think I got a book out there that says God's victory plan. You know, from the beginning, God planned for man to live victoriously. God always designs a plan to bring victory to those that will believe what the Word says. You know, the Bible, not one time in the Bible did God's plan fail to those who believed Him. You know, I was one time, I watch it all the time. In fact, if I watch television, it's usually basketball, football, baseball, and not soccer or hockey, because I don't know anything about those two games because I never played them and really don't understand them. But there's a lot of people that have and do. I think if you lived up north, I think everybody learns how to skate and play hockey. You know, down where I come from in Texas, you're lucky if somebody even has an ice rink anywhere around. Back in when I was growing up, I think that's changed now. But, I was watching one of the playoffs in the national championship for basketball one time, and it was talking to a coach, and he had been talking about how the team that they're playing didn't match up with them and on paper, and they didn't match up, but they were considered the underdog, but they won the game. And they were asking him, how in the world? This team was rated higher than you, so forth, and you were the underdog, but you came back and won. How did you win the game? And the coach said, because my team played according to the game plan that I had drawn up. You know, if believers would live according to God's plan, they could have victory. God's plan is here in the Word of God. You know, God had a plan for the Israelites when they marched around Jericho. He had a game plan. If they hadn't done it the way God said do it, which was the plan, it wouldn't have happened. Hello. God had a plan for Gideon when he delivered Israel. Anybody remember that story in the Old Testament? I got a few people, dude, go read the Bible. You'll find out about it. God had a victory plan for the three Hebrew children. They didn't bow, but they didn't burn either. God had a plan for Paul when he was on that ship and it was going down. The plan God had, he told if everybody will do what you tell them to do, the ship's going down, but everybody will be saved. He had a plan. And when they followed that plan, it happened like God said. God has a victory plan for every one of His people, every one of His children. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know where the victory is that you need? Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amplified Classic says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. The New International Reader's Version says, but let us give thanks to God. He wins the battle for us because of the Lord Jesus, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I want you to notice the victory is in Jesus. You know, a complete victory for the man that God created was achieved on the cross of Calvary. We need to remind ourselves that that was an absolute overwhelming victory. You know, it just wasn't a barely get by. It was overwhelming. You know, we watch a game on TV, baseball, basketball, football, and sometimes the team just, they just obliterate the other team. They just didn't win. They obliterated them. See, that's the kind of win that God got at Calvary, that Jesus got at Calvary. It just wasn't a win. It was a complete, total wipeout. You know, sometimes when the enemy comes against us and he pounds us so hard until we quit looking for victory. You know, sometimes people can reason themselves out of victory. In the natural, this can be done. You can do it in the spiritual also. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means you're not letting the Word of God have complete control in your life. You know, one time we were playing a team and my buddies, we were sitting there and was talking, and they kept saying, well, you know, so-and-so, he's run for more yards than anybody in our district. This is in football. And so-and-so is the leading tackler, and they got the leading offense in our district, and nobody's been able to beat them. I don't know why we're even going out there. I told him, I said, listen, if you think like that, that's exactly what's going to happen. There ain't no use you even putting on your shoulder pads or helmet. Just stay in the locker room, because I don't need you out there on the field with me, because I'm going out there to win. I'm not going out there just to play the game. See, too many times people want to, they rationalize the experience, the scripture to fit their experience, rather making the scripture line up with their experience. You know, they rationalize it. Well, you know, this didn't happen this time because this. No, it didn't happen this time because you just didn't stay to the plan, believing God with your heart and speaking out of your mouth. The plan is believe God and speak with your mouth. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you got to begin to say out of your mouth, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, everything is because based upon Christ Jesus. Some people believe because they start letting the hardships and the tragedies and everything that they've gone through, it changes what they're saying. It changes how they're believing. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't change the Word of God, and it shouldn't change your believing, and it shouldn't change what's coming out of your mouth. Come on now. I lived in the house, grew up in the house of the man that taught this very strongly, and he believed and he did what he taught. I've been with him when it wasn't right and everything's gone wrong. And he just say, son, we're going to keep speaking the Word. It don't make any difference. We're going to keep speaking the Word. But Dad, hey, you know, I'm a teenager, you know, helping with offerings and different things. Well, actually, I was in college, my freshman year in college, and it was the summer that we were out. I was traveling with Dad, and we was at this one church, and I said, Dad, the offerings are not what they're supposed to be, and the book table, we ain't selling nothing. And I said, what are we going to do? He said, we're just going to keep preaching the Word and doing what God said do. That's what we're going to keep doing. He said, I'm not moved by what I see I'm only moved by what I believe. And what I believe, I speak with my mouth, because the word says to believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. That's what Jesus provided for us. That's who we are in Christ. That's what we can do because we're in Christ. Come on. We live in a constantly changing world. But let me tell you a secret. Even though the seasons change, people change, situations change, the Word of God never changes. It is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know, some people, to get out of their situations, are looking for their knowledge and their skill and have a strategy. Now, there's nothing wrong with that in the natural. We need to have knowledge. We need to learn how to have certain skills, and we need to know how to do some of that stuff. It's important. I teach you all the time. We are a natural person. We are a spiritual person living in a natural world. That's the best way to say it. And we need to realize that there's some things naturally and there's some things spiritually. Some you have to just do natural, some you do spiritual. Some of them, you take both of them and put them together. You ever notice in the Word of God, it says, if you do this, then this will happen? Anybody ever notice that in there besides me? Come on now. You know, many people, they look to everything except the Word. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about just people. I'm talking about Christians. They look everywhere for the answer except to looking to the Word of God, and to the one profound truth is our victory is in Christ because of His victory that He won on the cross of Calvary. God's victory plan always works, but you got to work the plan. The great coach, Vince Lombardi, he said, I remember him saying this. I heard him when he said, I was just a kid, you know. He said, I will give the other team my play. But if my team executes that play to perfection, everybody gets their block, everybody does what they're supposed to, they can't stop it. Anybody ever read that after Vince Lombardi? Or maybe you're old enough to have heard him say it. You know, let me tell you something. If you read the plan and you execute this plan to perfection, it always works. How many of you have found out that the Word of God works? The Word of God works no matter what. Okay, our victory is in Christ Jesus. What we have to do is make up our mind to follow the plan, God's victory plan. You see, He won an overwhelming victory at Calvary. John 19:30 says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. When Christ hung on that cross, He looked up to heaven and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that was it. But some great things happened at that moment. The curtain in the temple that had kept the power of God. They say, tradition says it was probably about 3 feet wide with all the curtains that hung, as different ones, and about 20 feet tall. And it doesn't say, it said it ripped from the top to the bottom. And God said, no longer will my spirit dwell in this house, but I will go and dwell in the house that I built, my man, my human being. And the Spirit of God will go and dwell with them. And the Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Why? To redeem back that man that the devil had stolen away. And because of what Jesus did, the power of God now resides in us. But we've got to believe what the Bible says and speak what the Bible says. Yeah, it was a dark day for the disciples. They ran and hid. The Romans took and buried him in a tomb and sealed it up. They thought we've done it. It's over. But on that third day, when the S-O-S-U-N came up in that eastern sky, the S-O-N came up out of that grave. And when he came up out of that grave, he said, I have the victory. I have the victory in my hand. I want to tell you something. It says in Colossians, having wiped out the handwritten requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Let me read it from the Passion. I like this. He canceled out every legal violation we had on record. And the old arrest warrants that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon, all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in possession triumph. He did not, he was not their prisoner. They were his. It says it made a show of them openly. Now you go back and you think about when the Bible was first put together, the men were writing it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When a king had won a great victory, he would take all of the leaders and the authorities, and they would parade them before all the people to show that they had conquered. It says here he made a show. Hey, every demon in hell, the devil, all of them, Jesus Christ is leading them around through all the spiritual world. Hey, that's where they were, in the spiritual world. He's leading them around through the spiritual world, letting everybody know that if you get in Christ, you have authority over all of these. They no longer have any authority. Glory to God. Somebody said, that may not be a theologically correct. It's not, but it gives me a picture of what it meant when it said he made a show of them openly, publicly, making a show of all of those demon spirits. Because of who you are in Christ, you have won an overwhelming victory. Not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ. Come on now. About now, if I had Deborah on that old C3, she'd be getting with it, and I'd be going, because I'm getting over my evangelist anointing this morning. I like to preach, but when the Lord changed me to a pastor, I become heart of a teacher. But I'm sort of preach teaching this morning. I'm a preacher, I guess you'd call it. Oh man, let me know you something. Like I said a while ago, he just didn't barely win the victory. He obliterated the devil. You know, Jesus, he didn't come staggering out of that grave with his hair singed and his face dark with soot and smoke coming with the burn from a couple of places burning on his robe, as you see like the survivors do when they come out of some of those movies. When they're coming out, they survive. Hey, he just didn't survive. He came out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came out with the victory in his hand. And because he's got victory in his hand, you got victory in your hand. It's up to you whether you walk in it or not. It's up to you whether you let it live in your life or not. You can be born again, spirit-filled, and still not living the victory life. But I tell you something, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to live the victory life because Jesus purchased the victory life for me. It's up to me to operate the plan. Hallelujah. He utterly defeated every demonic foe that there is. That victory at Calvary has affected the entire human race for eternity. Christ went to that cross to obtain salvation for all that would come and be plunged beneath that flow. There is that fountain filled with blood that flows from Christ's heel, that if we will be plunged beneath that flow, we lose all our guilty stain and we become a part of that church of the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing can stop. We cannot be defeated and we will not quit. Hallelujah. That mighty moving force. That victory that he won on Calvary included salvation, healing, deliverance, safety, protection, prosperity in every area, not just finance. Sometimes when you use the word prosperity, everybody thinks of finance. But let me tell you something. There is a whole lot more to prosperity than just the financial realm. And it's, hey, that's prosperity in every realm of our life. Spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, every way, spiritually. Come on. He come out of that grave. He went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Became the King of Kings. With a big K. But according to Romans 5:17, we can reign in life as kings, little K, through Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, but we are heirs and joint heirs with him. A joint heir has the same privilege as the heir. Let me tell you, he said, up until now, you see, it's all because of who he is and what he's done. He told his disciples in John, he said, up until now, you haven't asked anything in my name. But after I have risen from the dead, if you'll ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. What does that mean? That means that when we ask in Jesus' name, it's the same as Jesus asking the Father for it. The Apostle Paul said that we join in his triumphant possession. Now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph. Always. As long as we are in Christ, we can enjoy continual victory. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? Actually, we become invincible champions. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not just conquerors, more. The Rickard translation. Listen, in all things, Jesus, our great leader, has established us, I like this, as invincible champions through his amazing provision for us. has established us as invisible champions. Ooh. Hey, you been watching any of the championship games of the different bowl games and different things and conference championships that people won on the football? Hey, when it's over, they get a cap and put it on, and they got a shirt on that says champion. Hey, let me tell you what. Because of what Jesus did, he won the victory. And we walk over to the foot of the cross and we put on that robe, that blood-bought robe. And we put on the cap and we go walking around letting the devil know, hey, I know who I am in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I want you to know it, Mr. Devil. Because I have on that championship robe and I have on that championship cap, and because I have the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that's they get that trophy. They hold that trophy. But let me tell you why. I'm holding the trophy of the power of the Holy Spirit right here on inside of me. And let me tell you something. I'm telling everybody, every Satan demonic power there is, I have the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of what Jesus did at Calvary, he has overcome. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're more than a conqueror because of the blood of Jesus. When we begin to understand who we are in Christ, it'll change the way we talk. It'll change the way we walk. Oh, yeah. That's why we sang that song. I got it in my talk. I got it in my walk. I got it all over me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody ought to be shouting about now. Somebody ought to be praising God about now. Hallelujah. Let's sing that, Dan. Let's sing that. Come on, let's sing. Turn him on. Let's go. Come on.
Well, I got it. I got it. Yes, I got it. I got it. There's just something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. Oh, yeah. I sing, I got it.
Hey, reach up and just take hold of it and say, I got it right now. I got it right now. It's all right if you want to shout. This is a service that we can shout in. You know, not every service is a shouting service, but this is a shouting service. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
walking around like this and begin to walk around. Get that swagger. Get that swagger who you are in Christ. Come on now. Hallelujah. Some of you right now, you just need to say, hey, Mr. Devil, you've been messing with me, and you just need to kick him out right now. Just kick him out. Spirit of God said, the enemy been pounding some of you, pounding you. Well, right now, by the blood and who you are in Jesus Christ, kick him out. Tell him he no longer has any right. He no longer has any authority. Oh, glory to God. Man, oh man. Whoa. Things I remember my dad always do. He said, hallelujah. Kick that leg. Glory to God. I guess I did get an evangelist. I did get over that evangelist mode. Hey, for some of you people never see it, that's the way I used to preach all the time. Isn't that right, Brother Doug? Doug's been with me on the road. Craig's been there. Hallelujah. I love to do that. But you know, that's special service that an evangelist comes. But for the church, you got to have that solid, solid teaching. And that's what I do as much as I can, you know. But thank God he lets me get an evangelist on every once in a while. I ask him, Lord, let me preach today. But somebody said, won't you do that every time? I can't, not unless he anoints me to do it like that. Now, I could when I was walking in that office, but now I walk in a different office. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what office you walk in? Well, I probably walk in a whole bunch of those. I just don't even talk about them. You know, some people talk about, I'm prophet this and apostle this and all that. Who cares? Do it. Just do it. My dad said, you don't have to tell people. Just go do it. Just go perform the job that God told you to do. And what people say, that's up to them. Hello. Praise God. Anybody get a hold of what I'm talking about today? Hallelujah. Let's stop for just a moment. Bow your heads. There may be somebody in here that couldn't enjoy what we just got through enjoying. They didn't feel what you just felt. You know, we walk by faith, but there's a certain time you can feel that anointing. How many of you felt that anointing? It was here. If you're here and you couldn't enjoy this with us, we want you to. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Or you may be here and you know what it is, but you have walked away and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. Anybody on any one of those two invitations, let me see your hand upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in this room. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I think I see a hand back there, over there. I think I see a hand back there. Maybe I didn't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Upstairs, downstairs. I don't want to rush. I want to give people a chance, especially if you need to rededicate yourself to God. If you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you have never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance, and you'd say, I'd like to have that experience of being filled with the Spirit today. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. If you raised your hand on any invitation, should have raised your hand on any invitation, I'm going to go right down the front. I'm going to wait just a minute. I'm going to wait for you to come down here so I can pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Come on right now. If you raise your hand, should have raised your hand. Wanting to raise your hand. Come on now. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you down. I want you to get right down here now. Now is the time. This is the day of your deliverance. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, come on now. Come on now. Don't wait just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's somebody coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Come on right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just face me. Stand here. Hey, buddy, how are you? Hey there, how you doing? How you doing, man? Praise the Lord. Anybody else going to come? Come on now. I'll wait a minute. There's some other coming right now. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, buddy. Come on, right here. Bless you, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Thank God, thank God, thank God. You're never too young. You're never too old. Hallelujah. Lord, bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just stand right behind her. Hallelujah to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got in my hand three books, New Birth in Him, White Tongues. If I said it's going to give them to you, how would you get them? What would you do to get them? You reach out. That's right. You can have them right there. Y'all all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you those books. I can't give you the spiritual thing that you came down here to receive. That comes from heaven on high. I just want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one it is. With that upraised hand, you're saying, I come down here to get what I came for. Congregation, reach your hands out toward them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. See Mr. Greg right there? I got a special place I'd like you to go, so make sure that you get prayed with individually and in depth. You get those books, get a letter from me. And if you're looking for a place to come, this would be a good place to start coming to church. If you live in this area, just come on, be a part of our Rhema family. God bless you. Just follow him right now to that place of prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Glory to God.